My name is Garland Robinson. Did you know every Christian's desire is to please God? And in order to please God, we have to know what pleases God. And the only way to know what pleases God is to read the inspired Word of God. God told us what He desires for us to know, for us to do, how we are to worship and when, and all the particulars about it, in His holy inspired Word, which is the Bible. As a Christian, then, we need to give ourselves to knowing what God's will is. We need to have certainly a correct attitude regarding the Bible, regarding the truth of God. For one, we need to have a love of the truth. We've got to have a passion to know what is the will of God. Then we need to believe the Bible is God's Word, that every word in every verse, in every chapter, in every book is inspired of God. It is God-breathed. That men have not tampered with it. It is not the word of men, but it is, in truth, the Word of God. Once we believe that, then when we begin to study it, we're going to have a willingness to accept what we find. It's one thing to know the will of God, being able even to quote it, but it's another to accept it. To accept it means to live it, incorporate it into our very lives. And in order to accept it, we have to rid our minds of any preconceived idea. That is, anything that we've thought of already ahead of time. We've got to get rid of all of those kind of ideas and simply open our mind to what the Bible says. Far too many have their minds closed to the truth. You remember in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 20 that Nebuchadnezzar's mind was hardened in pride. He would not listen to the truth at all. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 14, we read concerning the Israelites of old, but their minds were blinded. We don't want to be like that. Don't have your mind made up. Don't have your mind closed to the truth. Now, the opposite of this also is true. We need to caution about that. Don't be so gullible that you believe just anything and everything that comes along. But we need to examine the truth. Confirm that what we hear, what we read, what we study and learn, that it is indeed the Scripture, the Word of Truth. The Jews, on the whole, refused to open their mind to the possibility that they might be wrong, and they needed to take a serious look at this Jesus of Nazareth to see that indeed He is the divine Son of God. If they would have taken the time to look at the prophecies concerning the Messiah, then if they would look at Jesus and recognize He fulfilled those things that were written of the Messiah in every particular, there was not even one item that the Lord failed to fulfill. But the Jews would not accept that. They would not see that. Their minds were closed. They would not consider it whatsoever. We read in Acts chapter 13 regarding Paul and Barnabas when they were going around teaching and preaching the things of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that when the Jews saw the multitudes that flocked around Paul and Barnabas in desiring to hear these words that were spoken of by them, the Bible says they were filled with envy and they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. They were contradicting his words. They were blaspheming. They did everything within their power to get people, don't listen to what Paul is saying. Listen to us. This Jesus of Nazareth is a fraud. He is a shyster. He is not what he claims to be. That was the sentiment of the Jews on the whole. But yet, a good, serious Bible student won't believe and accept just anything, but he'll believe what is based upon the facts, upon the evidence. He will have an open mind, even when that truth that he's now learned contradicts or is contrary to what I have always believed or you believe, we'll have an open mind enough to simply accept the truth, that we will convert, that we will change, that when we've been shown, it is indeed the Word of God. We read in Acts the 17th chapter that when Paul, again in his travels on his missionary journeys, arrived down in Berea, he began to teach and to preach, and it's mentioned regarding the people of that city that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now the Bereans had an open mind. They were eager to learn. Again, they weren't gullible to believe just anything. Notice what the text says. They received what was said and preached and taught with a ready mind, but also they searched the Scriptures every day to see whether the things they were being taught, the things they were learning, was indeed the fulfillment of Scripture and the Word of God. You know what they discovered? They found that it was indeed the Word of God, and many of them obeyed the gospel. We read back in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 41 and 42. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Here's the reference to the woman at the well of Samaria, where Jesus was speaking to her, told her about her many husbands, and even the one that she was living with now was not her husband. She goes into the city and reports to the people that she has talked to the Messiah. They came out, examined him themselves, and said, We indeed now believe, not simply because of your word, but that we have spoken with him ourselves, and that they had found that the words he was speaking was indeed the truth. We found what the Apostle Peter said, and how that he wanted his readers to be mindful of the words spoken by the prophets in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Again, what was Peter's desire? The same as the other apostles, the same as we have right now. Not just believe anything and everything, not have your mind made up, but have an open mind, and that you would search the Scriptures to see whether these things are so, because that is the only way that we're going to be able to be approved of God and be able to hear Him say one day, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Another good quality of a Bible student is that we would be spiritually minded. You know, friend, the Bible is a spiritual book, and we need to be spiritually minded as we approach the Bible and begin to study it. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 we read, For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, and notice this, and spiritual understanding. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 6, Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. We are to be clearly thinking, reasoning, logically concerning the Bible and the things that we hear. We need to be spiritually minded. James 1 and verse 8 tells us that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is one that can't make up his mind, or one that one moment believes this, another moment believes that, and he is wishy-washy. He goes along with whoever may be speaking with him at the time. He does not have that definite concept or conviction in his heart and in his mind. A good Bible student is looking to the spiritual things, the things that come from God above. In Colossians 3, in verses 1 to 3, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Again, these brethren that had received these words were members of the church. They had obeyed the gospel. They were continuing in the faithful service of the Lord. They were worshiping as they had been directed. And so the Apostle Paul, writing to them through the direction or the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit, tells them that they need to set their mind, set their thinking on things above, not on things on the earth. That is, up in heaven. Look to be spiritually minded. Look to those things that are above. In Romans the 8th chapter in verse 5 and 6, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Oh, how sad it is that so many people today have their mind, their intent, their thoughts, and their actions centered upon things of this world, the temporal, the earthly, things that are of the flesh and of the world. But the good book tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So, friend, we need to look above, not below. We need to look to heaven for spiritual guidance, not to our fellow man, not to philosophers, not for individuals upon this earth that are not spiritually minded. But when we approach the Bible to know the will of God, we have an open mind, we have a spiritual mind, and we're willing to search and dig and compare and study to make sure the things that we are learning, that we've been taught, that we are embracing and carrying out in our lives, that it is indeed the Word of God. And the only way to do that is to rid yourself of any preconceived idea. Put away from your mind any thought that may be contrary to the will of God, and have an open mind, being willing to learn, not gullible, but willing to study and confirm the things that we are learning and studying is indeed the Word of God. And when we do that, our minds will be set up on things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And so, therefore, we set our mind on things above. Well, what about you? Is that the kind of attitude and thought and mind that you have? Is your mind set on things above? Even though we live in this world and have to go and do things of this life and take care of certain duties, don't neglect the spiritual. Make sure that you take time for God, that you take time to study the Bible, that you take time to live the Christian life. But that only comes by first obeying the gospel. If you have sinned, and the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, then you need to repent of that sin. If you truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, why not repent? Then confess faith in Christ and be baptized into water for the forgiveness of your sins. You can be raised to walk a newness of life, Romans 6:4. You are then a child of God, and you can continue to study and learn and grow and increase in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. What a great way to live the Christian life, to be approved of God and to be able to go to heaven when we die. My name is Garland Robinson.